Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. How are we doing? Are you ready to praise the Lord this morning? Hallelujah. All right, go ahead and start. How many of you know the joy of the Lord is your strength? Yes. All right, let me see you clap.
Makes me stronger,
stronger, stronger.
the joy of the Lord.
Come on, sing it out.
It makes me stronger. Greater, greater. My God is greater. His power is power. It makes me stronger. I'm getting stronger. The joy of the Lord.
It makes me stronger.
Greater, greater. My God is greater.
Come out one more time, sing it out.
It makes me stronger. I'm getting stronger. The joy of the Lord. It makes me stronger. Greater, greater. My God is greater. It makes me stronger. You're the joy no one can take away. You're the joy no one can take away.
You're the
strength I need. You will always be. You're the joy
no one can take away.
You're the joy no one can take away. You're the peace inside I can't explain. You're the strength I need. You will always be my strength.
Hallelujah. My friend Antonio, I need your help really quick. Can you come up here, please?
Hi, Antonio.
Can you come here? All right. Guys, Antonio is going to lead us in praise really quick, okay? Just really quick. I want you to show me what your response would be if I handed you a $1 million check. Okay? I can't do that. I can't do that, but I respect it. Amen. All right. Pastor Dan, can you help me really quick? Come up here. I really need you. I really need you. Come on. Come on. That's right. All right. Lead me in praise. What would your response be if you just got the keys to your dream car? Lead me in praise. Show me how to do it. It wouldn't be that. Okay. Those are some pretty crazy responses, right? I don't think I would do Pastor Dan's. I don't think I would follow his lead. But we have something so much greater than $1 million. We have something so much greater than our favorite car. We've got the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords on our sides. Amen. So I want to see your active response to the King. Come on, let me hear a shout. Let me hear, see somebody jump. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Come on, lift him up.
Our Father.
right, so we're going to go into a brand new song. Most of you probably have not heard this. And I really just want to encourage you guys, during this song, don't focus about singing every single word on the screen, because worship is about a heart position and what you are saying to God, your Father. It's not about reading every single word perfectly as the worship team up here sings it. So during this time, just focus on who God is and how much you just love him and you just want to sing to him during this awesome Christmas season we're celebrating right now. And for the unclean and the unholy, for the broken, the unworthy, you came. Jesus, you came for the wounded, for the hurt, the lost, and for the lonely you came. Jesus, you came. And oh, come all ye faithful, bow before our Savior. Come, let us adore and the defeated, for the weary and the weakest you came. And Jesus, you came. And oh, come all ye faithful, bow before our Savior. Yeah.
And oh, come all ye faithful, bow before our Savior. Come, let us adore the one who came for us. And glory in the highest, praise the name of Jesus. Our King has come. And oh, come all ye faithful, bow before our Savior. Come, let us adore the one who came for us. And glory in the highest, praise the name of Jesus. Our King has come. And oh, come, let us adore Him, for He alone is worthy. Our King has come. Our King has come. Oh, give Him all the glory, for He alone is worthy. Our King has come. Our King has come.
Raising your hands up in full surrender to the one that took your sins, your sicknesses, diseases, and death on that cross. Don't care about who's next to you. This is about being in the presence of an Almighty Father. Jesus. It's this time of the year. We come into the season where we're celebrating, obviously, the birth of our Messiah. But we can get so wrapped up in the things that we see around us, the busyness of life, the commercialization of this time of year in celebration. But when we really take into perspective who He is, Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Jesus, our Messiah, the Son of God. And we keep that in perspective to know what He came to do. This morning, today, He's moving in this place. He's moving in hearts. He's moving in ways that we may not always be able to see in the natural. And as I was asking Him, He said He wants His people to be free. So this morning, He's declaring over His bride, the church, the body of Christ, freedom. So every hand lifted up. All eyes closed. You don't need to see what's happening around you. This is a moment where the Lord wants to touch you. It doesn't matter the posture of your body. It's your heart. He wants you to have freedom, complete freedom. The word says that he who the Son has set free is free indeed. But we've got to walk in that freedom. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Father, I call right now, Lord God, from the heavenlies, and I pray and ask that the supernatural come down into the natural, that we would be able to obtain that freedom that, Lord God, you have for us. That, Lord, we don't just simply talk about it, but we live it. And, Lord, even the thought of saying, well, you don't know what I'm feeling. You don't know how hard this is. In the name of Jesus, right now, we bring that thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and also the Word of God. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now that we would come to understand that we can be free. I command fears to be broken off in the name of Jesus. I command depression to be broken off in the name of Jesus. I command sicknesses and diseases, hearts to come into alignment, lungs to be restored in the name of Jesus. I command organs to come into alignment. I speak to the immune systems right now, and I speak strengthening in the name of Jesus. I speak right now, Jehovah Rapha, over the bodies in Jesus' name. Addictions broken in the name of Jesus. That way we can feel your full freedom. Lord, move in this place today. Have your way in our lives. Let us never be the same. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for this moment that we can have with you. But Lord, let it not be just a moment. Let this be life transforming. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You know, some places they want to move quickly. But when the Lord starts doing something in people, if we move too fast, the work's not completely done and finished. I can feel his presence in here. Whew, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy. Lord, you're worthy. You don't know what to do, just ask him. I want to feel you. I want to know that you're here. Touch me. You see, you're his creation. He doesn't want us walking around aimlessly, wondering how or what. He's a good, good father. Thank you, Daddy, for being with us today. You see, what happens when you hear the word freedom? Some of the thought processes that we have initially is we think to ourselves, I don't know if I can be free from that. Well, who said? Because if I remember correctly, the Bible said, he the Son set free is free indeed. And it doesn't matter what is taking place, whether it's fear, depression, anxiety, if it's addictions, if it's material, it doesn't matter. Freedom. Freedom. You know what I want to do real quick? Because, you know, honestly, I think we just need to shout it out of our mouths. On the count of three, I want everybody in this church to shout out, I am free. We're not done yet. Here we go. So here we go. On the count of three, we're going to shout it. Thank you. She's head start. She beat us to the punch. All right. On the count of three, I want you to shout out loud. I want you to say, I am free. Ready? Here we go. One, two, three. Hey, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You are worthy, God. You are worthy and you are faithful. Thank you, Jesus, for your freedom today. Thank you, Jesus, for your freedom today. Hallelujah. Jesus! 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 Woo! Hallelujah! Jesus! 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 Hallelujah! You see, when we're free, we can actually walk like it. We can talk like it. We can live like it. Amen? Come on. All right, listen, on your way back to your chairs, I want you to hug on some people, give some high fives, and just simply tell them, I am free.
Settle on into your seats and pay attention to the announcements that are up and coming.
What do you think you're doing, Pastor Dan?
Decorating the tree.
Why are you decorated?
I mean, it's kind of like, I love decorating trees and I just get really involved.
That's cute.
Yeah. So, sorry.
Have fun with that.
Oh, hey. Look at my halo.
Nice.
Hey, family. December 23rd, we are celebrating Christmas at 9 and 11 in Ithaca at 11 o'clock. Make sure you invite your friends and your family and let's celebrate Christmas together. Oh, and guess what? We're also going to be having Christmas Eve service at 7 o'clock right here. So make sure you still invite friends and family. Let's light some candles. And something new we're doing this year is we're decorating cookies. So come early at 6 o'clock and let's have fun as a family.
Brace yourself for an epic blizzard blast.
Rockin' Eve takes the country by storm with John Legend, Gloria Estefan, Lionel Richie.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. God is powerful in the house this morning. Did you know that every time that we come together as corporate believers, when we are of one heart, one mind, and one passion for the power of the Holy Spirit to move in this place and in our lives, that's where revival actually breaks out. We are the ones that have the ability to usher in the power of God as we join together. So it's always an awesome opportunity. And when I say awesome, it's not just a word that I'm inserting. It is awesome. It's powerful. And we should stand in reverence of the opportunity that we have to join together in the house every Sunday morning and walk in the midst and worship in the midst of the presence of God. So we want to welcome you. We would also like to welcome our live stream audience this morning. We love you so much. We're so thankful that we get to worship with you, fellowship with you, and commune with you every single Sunday morning to break the bread and the word of God with you. If you are a guest in the house this morning, we're going to ask you to raise your hand. We have a gift for you. Just keep your hand nice and high. We want to make sure that we meet you. We want to make sure that we build relationship with you because we are a relationship building church. And the reason why we build relationship in this church is because our daddy and Jesus is all about relationships. So directly after service, we're going to invite you to come over to this side of the building. There's a guest reception room where we have refreshments. The pastors and leaders would love an opportunity to be able to get to know you. Now, how many of you know we have quite a few celebrations coming up in the next week, right? And what better to do than to celebrate Jesus as his sons and daughters, as the King's kids? So we get to celebrate Jesus on the 23rd at a 9 a.m. service, the 11 a.m. service. We will be having a powerful theater production. There will be a live nativity scene and a petting zoo. I really want to encourage you to bring people that might not have friends or family to spend Christmas with, or people that do not already have a church to attend, because people will come on the holidays when they wouldn't come at any other time. And there's no greater gift than the gift of Jesus that you can give someone. And so if your heart is to store up treasures in heaven or to even be a blessing, I mean, we can be a gift to our Jesus, right? We can be the gift. We can do that by giving someone else an opportunity to meet him. So make sure that you are inviting people to come on the 23rd, 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Also on the 24th, we have Christmas Eve service. It begins at 7 p.m. But we also have a really fun time of fellowship at 6 p.m. if you would like to come, where we are going to decorate cookies and decorate ornaments. So bring your family and come together with the family of Christ and just enjoy some fun and fellowship. 6 p.m., the service begins at 7 p.m. Then we also have a New Year's Eve service that is happening December 31st at 7 p.m. Pastor's going to announce the new theme that God has given him for the coming year, 2019. How many of you are ready for a new theme, a new breakthrough, for God to be powerful in the new year? Amen. So you want to make sure that you start the year right, and that's in the presence of our holy God who desires to give you every good and perfect gift. I would like to invite Pastor Rhonda up for our tithes and our offerings.
Amen. Pastor sends his greetings to all of you. He is in Houston, Texas, with one of our Bible College graduates, Pastor Rudy Santos. He went back, graduated, and started a work down there, and he's doing phenomenal. So we all get to be in Houston this morning helping this church thrive and excel in the things of God. So that's where he is this morning. But I just want to tell you that you are brilliant for being in the house of God today. Absolutely brilliant. First of all, because that means you have obeyed the Lord. One of the Ten Commandments is to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So today, the fact that you've come to the house of God is brilliant because you've chosen to obey God in that. And wow, when we obey God, we get uncommon favor. We get uncommon provision. We get uncommon healing in our lives. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's no joke. And that's no fantasy. Listen, I was healed, uncommon healing by God of stage 3 cancer, where they wanted to operate and chemo and radiation. And I have pictures 10 days apart where they tattooed and marked me for removal. And then they went back in 10 days later, no medicine, no radiation, no surgery, and it was completely removed. That's the God that we serve. You might try to deny it, but I have picture proof and doctor's report. God gives us uncommon healing. He opens up the windows of heaven and pours out a blessing we cannot contain. And when we choose to obey by tithing, man, you cannot go wrong. So you are brilliant, house of God, today for being here and for being a tither in God's house. His word, I love this word so much. If you're ready to give, stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration. But I just want to, this word is so powerful. It is literally life in these pages. When you read this, you're not reading words on a page. You're reading life. So in this house, we repeat the word of God for our offering. But when you speak the word today, I want you to do it with such a confidence, with such a knowing. His word says that when it goes forth, it will perform what it is sent to do. It has no other choice but to perform what it is sent to do. It says it will not return to you void. So when you declare the word this morning, I want you to declare it with that confidence, knowing it has no other choice. Uncommon favor has no other choice. Uncommon provision has no other choice. Uncommon healing has no other choice but to show up in your life when the word goes forth. So say it with me. I don't know if you're excited. I'm a little bit excited about the word of God. I can't contain it. Gonna hold up mine too. So repeat after me. If I obey, then I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings, they have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. Okay, hold on. I got so excited about the word of God this morning that I forgot about our gifts for Jesus next week. So we have special envelopes with our gifts for Jesus. You know, the late Billy Graham quoted, and this was such a great quote, I read it this morning, that our checkbook is a theological document of who and what we worship. So as I'm out shopping and buying gifts for everybody, I want my checkbook to be a document that shows who and what I worship. So when I'm preparing my gifts, I'm making sure that I bring a gift for the Lord on Christmas Sunday. So if you don't have a red gift envelope, grab one on your way out. Pray about what you would bring to the King next Sunday morning, all right? So, I'm blessed. Go ahead and bring your tithes and your offerings to the Lord. If you're watching by a live stream, you can give right along with us. Click on the giving button or even text to give.
Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your name is great and greatly to be praised. Let everything praise the Lord. Let everything
How are you doing this morning? Are y'all up? Are y'all awake? I don't know about you, but during the offering, Pastor Ron almost took us into church. I don't know about you, but when you understand uncommon favor, you can't sit in your seat like this and say, that's okay. The emotional and psychological turmoil to sit there and be marked up, told that you're about to be cut up, and then you walk in days later, and they are baffled at the fact that they have to erase every single thing they put on your body. That will make you shout. There's this nice churchy line that says, favor ain't fair, but actually there was a pastor that came on, he absolutely rebuked us for saying that. He said, favor is fair, it's your right. It is your right to be in a position that is above the world. It is your right to be in a position that puts you at the head and not the tail, that puts you as above and not beneath, that puts you as one that will give money but never have to beg for it. Uncommon favor is your portion. Are you with me? Now, these cute little claps may be the reason why you still are walking in common favor. It's second service. I'm going in. So perhaps you need to give him an undignified praise so he can release an undignified blessing. So how about you hop up on your feet? How about you get up on your feet? Come on. If he's done anything for you, if he's done anything for you, you made it to church this morning. You have breath in your lungs. You've got to dance in your feet. Oh, come on now. Your undignified praise will release an undignified favor. Come on. Give him an uncommon praise. He deserves it. He deserves it. Come on. Come on. You've got to push through. Don't stop. Don't stop. Work that muscle for uncommon favor. Work that muscle for uncommon praise. Work it. Come on. Come on. Come on. The Bible declares that there was a time that the people of God did not have one, not two, but three armies coming against them. And they thought, well, maybe we're just going to lose. I mean, it's 3-1, right? The math does not work in their favor. But the Bible says that they began to praise. They didn't fight. They didn't take it to social media. They didn't go in a fake prayer circle where you're just going to go and gossip. They went and they started to praise. I'm going in. And the Bible declares that by the time they were done praising, they got to the battlefield. And guess what they saw? The enemies turned against each other and they defeated each other. Then the Bible goes on to say that for 3 days, not one, not two, shall three. That for 3 days they had to take that time to collect all the uncommon spoils that they did not fight for. I dare you in this place, lift up your voice, and by the time you get home, every single thing shall be defeated in your favor. Y'all need to understand where there is a wave of it. I know it's offering and well, it's a cute little word from Malachi. I'm gonna get my 10%, so a buck or two. But when you see that there's a shift in the word, and she says that the word does not return void, but it will go forth and accomplish what it's set forth to do, then you hear that God is watching over his word to make sure that it performs. And he says that he even holds his word above his own name. Who am I to sit back with my hands crossed and my feet crossed and say, well, it's just a cute word. I will uncross my legs. I will uncross my hands. I will stand up and give him an undignified praise because the word has gone forth in my favor. All right, sit down. That wasn't my word. I don't apologize. I have learned in my 9 years here and the other times at the previous church that I never apologize for praise. I've not met one person in the word that apologized for praise. In fact, the one person that I know that came against praise had her womb shut up. I'm in the word. Okay. Speaking of the word, let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 4. That was the intro, y'all. Who's excited to be in the house of the Lord? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. All right, 2 Samuel chapter 4. I'm going to try to compose myself so I can look all dignified. Saul's son, Jonathan, had a son named Mephibosheth, who was crippled as a child. He was 5 years old when the report came from Jezreel that Saul and Jonathan had been killed in battle. When the child's nurse heard the news, she picked him up and fled. Next screen. But as she hurried away, she dropped him. Say dropped. Say dropped. And he became crippled. This five-year-old boy has done nothing wrong. He's not committed some crazy sin. He's not done anything that you think would warrant this ending. He woke up one way and is going to bed a different way. Woke up being able to walk by himself on his two feet. But by the end of this verse, he's crippled. He's not a baby like the video depicted. He is 5 years old. Let me give you some historical context. His lineage is traced back to Saul and Jonathan, and they are in a war with the Philistines. You remember the Philistines. We have a giant named Goliath, and if you actually read your word, you will see that Goliath was fighting on behalf of whom? Awesome. Now, in that war, 1 Samuel, we see that they've actually won because David went forth, correct? And he defeated Goliath. And now we have a victory against this one enemy. But in 1 Samuel chapter 31, it's a different story. You see, now Saul is being defeated by that which he had previously been, which he had previously defeated. He is now being defeated by that which he had previously defeated. And the Bible declares that he is killed. He has his head cut off, and then his body is now strung up in public. This is not just a loss. This is an embarrassment. So now we have the king that's been killed. But then the Bible goes on to say that his son, one of his sons, Jonathan, we remember Jonathan, that was David's best friend. Do you guys remember that? Jonathan, he was killed as well. We're not sure of the details in the word about what happened after he was killed. We just know that he was killed. So now we have the king, and now we have the son. Do you see the attack on the family? So now this nurse, she understands that, well, this boy that I'm taking care of, he's part of the royal bloodline, see? Because his father was Jonathan, whose father was Saul. So if you're going to kill Saul and you're going to kill Jonathan, who's the next person to kill? The baby. Because you don't just go after the fruit, you go after the root. You don't just go after what you see in the parent, you go after that seed. So now we have this nurse that understands if she does not get this boy to safety, his life is on the line. So she picks him up with every good intention and is running and is running. And some situation, we're not saying it's the devil, We're not saying it's malicious. It happened. She trips. And this boy is now crippled to the point where he is now dependent on you to pick him up and move him, but you're busy. Dependent on you to pick him up and move him, but you've got other things to do. Dependent on you to pick him up and move him, but you have your own ministry to take care of. Dependent on you to pick him up, but you have your wife and your kids. For the rest of his life, he is thinking that he's dependent on everybody else. I would dare say that many of you that have walked through the doors of this church today are feeling like Mephibosheth. Well, how so? Not that your legs are crippled, but perhaps your soul is. Perhaps your heart is. Perhaps your emotions are. Perhaps where you thought that you were supposed to be great, now you're feeling crippled. Perhaps where there was a prophetic word over your life 5 years ago, now you're feeling crippled. There might have been a song in your heart, but now your voice is shut up. There might have been a word in your mouth, but now it's shut up. There's a ministry burning in your spirit, but now feeling crippled. Can you do me a favor? Turn to the person next to you. Say, neighbor, I know it may not feel like it. I know it may not look like it. But I've just been dropped into destiny. Oh, come on, come on. Give the Lord a hand clap. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap. I love to just study words and begin to see what is their etymology. So I said, for a name like that, that to spend all week trying to not mess up, Mephibosheth, Mephibosheth, Mephibosheth. Thankfully, there's an easier way to say it, and that is Meribbaal. Thank you, Jesus. And when you look up Meribbaal in the Hebrew, it means a destroyer of shame. That even before his legs became crippled, even before that nurse dropped him, the Lord knew to speak to his parents to put a prophetic declaration on his life that no matter the situation, you will destroy it. No matter the problem, it will not overcome you. No matter what the world may say about you, you are empowered and entitled to destroy it. A destroyer of shame. There's another term that says out of the mouth of shame, which means that you were in the midst of it and you're literally just bursting out. I believe that if you walked in through this door, you're about to burst out of some things by the time today is over. Are you with me? So I truly believe that there are benefits to being dropped into destiny. Well, he's crippled. I believe still there are benefits to being dropped into destiny. We're going to look at this expositorially from 2 Samuel chapter 9. Genesis is like, okay, good. Let me write this down. Oh, my scholars. 2 Samuel chapter 9. You guys ready? Here we go. One day, David asked, is anyone in Saul's family still alive? Anyone to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? Next slide. He summoned a man named Ziba. Say Ziba. Ziba. It just sounded good to say that. There's really no reason. Who had been one of Saul's servants. Are you Ziba? The king asked. Yes, sir, I am, Ziba replied. Next slide. The king then asked him, is anyone still alive from Saul's family? If so, I want to show God's kindness to them. Ziba replied, yes, one of Jonathan's sons is still alive. He is crippled in both feet. Did David ask him about his feet or just what his name is? Hold on. Go back, go back, go back. Where is he? The king asked. So here's point number one. Being dropped into destiny will restore your name. See, the challenge that most of you have gone through in 2018 is that your name has been primarily in the mouth of your haters. Well, you've had, I saw somebody in the back. Thank you, you're gonna make me preach this word, girl, she said. You've had to fight off social media. You've had to fight off group text messages. You have to fight off people in church. Can I keep it real? That every time your name is mentioned is not positive. They have your name in your mouth, in their mouth, and every shortcoming on the tip of their tongue. Well, I remember when she did this. How is she going to be used in the kingdom? I remember this. Oh, I remember back in the day when he used to do that with her. Second service, y'all. I remember all these things about them. They can never be used. Crippling. It's so interesting that the king asked for his name, but the servant brought up his problem. But this is what I really felt in prayer when I was preparing this sermon. In 2018, your name was in the mouth of haters. But in 2019, your name will be in the mouth of kings. Because when your name is in the mouth of haters, they can only talk about you. When it's in the mouth of a king, the king can then promote you. You've gone through the valley. You've gone through the storm. You've gone through the desert, and all of those were formative to where you've been today. But I'm here to decree and to declare into your life, it's time for you to take a seat at the king's table. But you can't take a king, you cannot take a place at the king's table until your name is called by the king. Well, I don't care. I'm just going to be a humble servant in the background. I don't care what people say about my name. That's a lie. There's power in the name. We don't just think about Jesus. We don't just read about him. You have to decree his name. That at the what of Jesus? Not the thought, at the what? Not the reading, at the what? There's power. Too long have you been in that valley? You needed it. Too long have you been in that desert? You needed it. Too long has your name been dragged through the mud? It built character. But do you really believe that your name can be in the mouth of kings in 2019? Do you believe that your boss right now is being woken up as a word is going forth and saying, I think this person deserves a promotion? Do you think right now that as this word is going forth, that the person that controls your rent is saying, I think they're paying a little bit too much? See, only one person got that. Let me go into my flesh just a little bit. That person that you've been praying for because you want to be with. And you've been saving yourself and consecrating yourself. Do you not think that the word could go right now and open up their eyes? You have gone long enough with your name in the mouth of haters. It is time for you to understand that there is power in your name in the mouth of a king. David did not say, well, why is he crippled? He said, where is he? Which means that when he spoke his name, he brought his name into proximity to him. When the king speaks your name, he's going to bring you in. So let's go back. I believe we're at verse 4. So that was point one. Let's go back to verse 4. Where is he, the king asked. In Lodebar, Ziba told him, at the home of Machir, son of Amiel. Next slide. So David sent for him and brought him from Machir's home. His name was Mephibosheth. He was Jonathan's son and Saul's grandson. When he came to David, he bowed low to the ground in deep respect. David said, greetings, Mephibosheth. Man, he has his name so many times. Mephibosheth replied, I am your servant. It's so different, like reading it versus actually talking it out so many times. Don't be afraid, David said. I intend to show kindness to you because of my promise to your father, Jonathan. I will give you all the property that once belonged to your grandfather, Saul, and you will eat here with me at the king's table. If you're taking notes, point number two, being dropped into destiny will restore your seat. Remember, he had a royal bloodline going back to Saul, which then went to Jonathan. So he has that royal bloodline, but when he was dropped, he was seemingly forgotten. They forgot that he was the grandson of a king. They forgot that he was in that royal bloodline. They forgot that he's not just some crippled guy on the street, that this used to be the grandson of a king. Who here has ever felt forgotten? Be real. Raise your hand. That you know who you are deep down, but due to the culmination of your life's experiences, it's as if you've been forgotten. But can I share something with you? There is a covenant right that you have that makes it impossible for God to forget you. There is a covenant right that you have which makes your bloodline irrevocable. It is impossible for God to stop blessing you. It is impossible for God to forget that you belong at the king's table. God will be going against his word if he does not bring you back to your rightful seat. That's the power of the word. That's why I got so excited when Pastor Arnold was talking about it. God is held by his word. I can pray boldly. God, it is in your best interest to bless me, because if you don't, you will be against your word. Oh, y'all don't pray like that? I remember Pastor Jade, oh my goodness, she said a bold prayer that I'm so struggling with from a theological standpoint. She had a sickness try to come upon her. And she was audacious enough to say, God, if you don't heal me, I will never serve you again, because you're going against your word. It's my covenant right to be healed. So either you heal me or I'm done. I was like, ooh, I struggle with that, Grammy. I don't know about that. But she held on to it, because regardless of my theological understanding, she had an experience with God so close to her covenant right that, God, it is in your best interest to hold up your word in my life. And you have a covenant right to be at the king's table. It all goes back to the seed. I can show you by Abraham and Sarah. Y'all remember them? Father Abraham had many sons, but before the many sons, he had none. And the Lord told him he was going to have some, Janice. But he said, Lord, it's not working. Sarah said, it ain't working. So Sarah had this great idea. Said, Abraham, you see that young, cute servant girl over there? How about you go be with her? Get her pregnant, and maybe that's the baby that God was talking about. So like every foolish man on earth, Abraham said yes. Got her knocked up. She now has the baby. And Sarah said, okay, I don't like her no more. Send her out. Right? But look, even though the baby named Ishmael was not the promised child, he still came from the seed of Abraham. So because of God's word, God was still forced to bless him. Let me prove it to you. So Sarah said, you got to go. So Hagar, the woman, the other woman, puts Ishmael on her back. Abraham says, here's some bread, here's some water. So she's now pushed into the wilderness with a little bit of bread, a little bit of water, and a crying baby. The bread, gone. The water, gone. The crying, not gone. To the point where she finds a little bush and puts the baby underneath and walks away and says that, I don't want to hear the baby crying to his death. So she goes on the other side. She can hear the baby. She can't see him. Saying that he's going to die. As a mother, I cannot watch it. So she starts to cry out. And guess what God did? Nothing. I just messed up this entire section's theology. God did nothing. But then the baby started to cry. the baby that was not the promise, but was still in covenant because of the seed. The mother's crying. She carried the baby. She was the one that had to have the belly swell. She had the shame. She had all that. But when she cried, heaven did not respond. But when the promised one, the one in covenant, the one with the seed, began to cry out, God had to answer. The Bible declares that water came out of nowhere. Provision came out of nowhere. Not because he did not feel bad for the mother, but he was held by his word to the baby. That's the power that you and I have as covenant-bearing children of God. You have the right to say, God, I belong at this table according to your word. Oh, well, that's just Old Testament. All right, let me take you to Romans chapter 8, New Testament. In there, we talk about the adoption as a child of God. So the Bible doesn't just say that I'm adopted. It says that I'm now a co-heir with Christ. Ooh. My boys are spoiled. They get whatever they want. Because, she said, preach. Leave my boys alone. Because they're my boys. I don't work hard for them to just have a mediocre life. I want them living their best life. They get what they want. And if I say no, they go to mommy. If mommy says no, they go to Nana. But Judah understands, as the son of daddy, I'm going to get what I want. It's his covenant right. But as a co-heir and being adopted in, you are now granted the same rights as if you are a son. Without the work, without the investment. So now if the Bible calls me a co-heir of Christ, going back to that principle, that means that whatever Jesus has, I do. Does Jesus have sickness in his body? Did Jesus have to beg for money? No. Did Jesus have self-esteem issues? No. I'm a co-heir. I'm a joint heir. I'm in covenant. So when I sit at the king's table, I don't sit as a guest. I sit as family. So perhaps the reason why you're not receiving is not because God isn't blessing. Is because you're trying to receive as a guest. To receive as a guest is different from to receive as a son. My guests, well, they will get anything after what I've given to my children. But if you're a family, you get it first. God does not have leftovers in store for you. Oh, come on now. The best of the best is reserved for you at the king's table. Oh, but I thought he was crippled. I thought that he really couldn't move. But remember that same servant that said, oh, he has crippled legs? He had to know, pick him up and place him at the table. So for all you that have issues with your haters, let me tell you this. The same people that talked about you in one season, they will be serving you in the next season. For the Bible goes on to say, Ziba, since you serve Saul, you're going to serve him too. Not only will he sit at my table, all the land that belonged to Saul, you will go and harvest for his family. I love that as a son, it's called sweatless equity. Pastor Andrea taught me that. She said, you're about to enter into a season where you don't have to work for this stuff. And that's sonship. And that's daughtership. I said it in first service. My heart breaks for people that attend his tabernacle as a guest or as a guest for 5-10 years. But it never becomes like family. Because when it becomes like family, you now become a son or a daughter. And in church as a whole, there's been this negative connotation about being a son or a daughter. Well, I just submit blindly whatever they say I have to do. But you don't really understand that there is a covering in being a son. There is a protection in being a son. I am a son of this house. If I have an amazing Darlene and Melissa G cheesecake brought to my house, come on, somebody. And I have that first slice, it's amazing. But if I leave it uncovered, for a week. Then I come back home. They didn't mess it up. I left it uncovered. Regardless of the potential, it's spoiled because it wasn't covered. My heart breaks for people that refuse to be covered by family. And the best covering is to become a son or a daughter. Because in that, you have a seat at the king's table. Regardless of my legs, regardless of my situation, regardless of my problem, you have a seat at the king's table and you have the covenant right to be there. Are you with me? So what was point number one? Awesome, nobody's taking notes. Being dropped into destiny restores your name. Point number two, being dropped into destiny restores your seat. Let's pull up verse 12. And I'll give you my third point. Keep on going. Next one. Here we go. Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah. Stop. Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah. Third point. Being dropped into destiny restores your purpose. Work this out with me. If you have young kids in here, cover their ears. Mephibosheth, 5 years old, legs don't work. Verse 12, has a son. Didn't say adopted. Didn't say spiritual son. He has a son. So, Kayla, you've had too many babies, so you can help me. Can you work with me, girl? If the Bible says that his legs don't work, but then the Bible says that he has a son, what does that imply to you? You haven't figured it out? Yes, you have. You figured it out 5 times. Come on, somebody. Wouldn't that imply that something else is still working? Work with me, y'all. Y'all acted all super saved.
Yeah, Lord, come on.
The feet don't work, but something else does. So the question to you and I is, what else have we killed just because my feet were crippled? What have you buried because only one other thing wasn't working? There's this victim mindset that's going around in which if there's one area of my life that's down, then every area of my life is down. Well, my car broke down, so I can't experience Jesus today. You have live stream. I got fired from this job. I'm done for. Monster.com. Let me get real. I got hurt by this one church 20 years ago that wasn't even this church. Every church is gonna hurt me. It's a victim mindset that says because I was hurt in this one area, now everything of mine is destroyed. Could you imagine if Mephibosheth said because of these legs, nothing else is going to work. He would not have had the seed come from him to produce Micah. I come here today to decree into your life, this may not be working. Your legs may not be okay, but your hands can work. The eyes may not be okay, but your ears can work. Stop killing everything off of one thing. There are too many dreams in this room. There's too much purpose in this room. Too many destinies in this room. Too many ministries in this room that have been wrongfully buried off of one thing going wrong. So my question to you today is simply this. If you've gotten nothing else from this sermon, this one thing. What have you buried in a moment of being crippled? I did not say season. I did not say lifetime. I said a moment. What has the Lord spoken into you that you know you were connected to this house to accomplish? But because of that one thing that you cannot let go even to this day, you've buried it. You've pushed it off. I believe every person is connected to a particular house for a particular reason. And one of those reasons is for this house to help you fulfill your purpose, your God-given purpose. But how can the house help you if you've buried it? Mephibosheth had every excuse in life. Say that I was dropped. I was ignored. People forgot my name. They forgot my family. They forgot me. Could you imagine if he allowed those excuses to stop him from an invitation to the king's table? We have invitations here every single week. What's stopping you from that invitation? I'm not talking about just salvation. I mean your life being truly altered. What is stopping you from that invitation? So we want to pray with you today on two fronts. The first front is for any person that's in this room that heard me preaching and said, Pastor, I've never really been to church, or I'm really not sure about all this God stuff. But something happened when you said the name of Jesus. Something happened when Pastor Rhonda said the name of Jesus. Something happened in me when she started to decree verses from the Word. I felt something inside of me. And throughout this entire sermon, I've only had my mind on one thing. That whatever they were talking about, that I need that. I'm here to tell you that is Jesus. That's who you need. He's the one that loves you. He's the one that can restore you. He's the one that has your name. He has your seat. He has your purpose. In fact, he died on an old rugged cross just for you. If it was for nobody else, if everybody else was saved and it was just you, he would have still gone through it all. That's how much he loved you. In fact, he will stake his entire word on you. That if it does not work for you, you can walk away from Christianity. That's how much he loves you. He will stake his entire reputation on you. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's the Jesus that you want to serve, not being forced to, but to willingly give your life to him. And just like that cheesecake, if it's left uncovered, it will spoil. But you keep that bad boy covered up, and you can then enjoy it time and time and time again. I wrapped up some from last night, and in the next 45 minutes, I'm going to be enjoying it. Not because I had a good intention to, but because I was purposed in covering it. Today, I want to encourage you to be covered by the blood of Jesus. So if you're in this place with every head bowed and every eye closed, and you want to say that you want to live your life for Jesus, you want to be covered by him, and you want to give your heart to him, I want you to just raise up your hand right now, quickly, quickly, quickly. Amen. If you have raised your hand, I want to challenge you to come down to this altar and meet me here. Come on, come on, quickly, quickly, quickly. Come on, if you raise your hand, meet me down at this altar, quickly, quickly. Hallelujah. Come on, come on. If you want to bring your friend up here, that's okay. Come on. Here, I will walk with you. Come on, come on. Yeah, it's okay. Come on, clap for them, clap for them. Jesus. Hallelujah. They're still coming. Come on, keep clapping, keep clapping. This right here is the most important moment of the day. This right here. Hallelujah. Come on, stretch out your hands. Oh, they're still coming. I love it. I love it. Come on, come on. The altar is still open for you. Come on. I want you all to just stretch out your hands to them. Jesus. Father, we thank you for these precious people. Lord, all the hours of planning and sermon prep, all the hours of worship rehearsal, all the volunteer hours of setting up today's service, Father, it was for this moment right here. And we are so thankful that you are a demonstrative God who will show signs and wonders to accompany your word, one of them being salvation. So, Father, we are so thankful that we had the privilege and the opportunity to bring your word that pierced the hearts of your precious people, and that today they can say that was their day of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We have Mindy Spencer right here. You and your friends, you guys can just follow her over to your left as we keep on clapping for them. Come on. Everybody else, you guys can just stand up to your feet. As the worship team goes into this last song, you may be saved in this place. You may be filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues more than me. That's all good. But if you've allowed a crippling moment in your life to keep you down, where things have been unnecessarily buried, put to the back burner, swept underneath the rug, and this sermon has challenged you to bring a moment of resurrection to those things, I believe we can easily do that through a joint effort of prayer and worship. So if you're in this place and you say, hey, I'm saved, I know I'm going to heaven, but I have unfulfilled purpose in this place. I have unfulfilled purpose in this church. I have unfulfilled purpose in the business realm. I have unfulfilled purpose in my family, in my life. If that's you, I want you to come down to this altar right now, quickly, quickly, quickly. If that's you, quickly, quickly. You are tired of being crippled in your life. Come on, quickly, quickly. We're gonna just worship. You can stay in your seats and worship, but if you're down here, I want you to worship with everything you've got.
Waymaker,
come on, come on. He is a way maker. He is making a way right now. No longer will that crippling moment, no longer will that crippling moment define you. No longer. Yeah. Come on, lift your hands and worship. 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 Yeah. Come on. Yes. And undignified worship. Come on. Like you've never done before. Like you've never done before. Come on. Lift your hand. Lift your voice. Come on. If it's to lift your hands, if it's to kneel down, if it's to lay prostrate, give an uncommon worship. Yeah. Come on. Prophesy to yourself. He's making a way. Come on, there's a road in the wilderness. Come on, there's streams in the desert. Come on, the impossible is being made possible in your life.
That is who you are.
Yes, come on, purpose is being restored. Destiny is being restored. Future is coming back. There's a verse in Acts chapter 26. You want to know what that verse says? It says this: do not think it impossible In one translation it says, it's not a big deal for God to raise the dead. So if it's not a big deal for God to raise the dead, do you think it is impossible for him to touch your situation right here and right now? Oh, come on. Let that verse encourage you that to raise the dead is not a big deal for God. So how much more is it for him to resurrect your problem, resurrect your situation, bring healing to your crippled feet? Come on, bring healing to your heart. Come on, bring healing to your soul. Come on, worship him. Oh, come on now. I release healing over this altar. Yes, God. Yes, God. Come on. The altar is still open for you. Yes. Yes. He's making a way where there is no way. Yeah. Come on. You have a covenant. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap. Give him a shout of praise. Give him a shout of praise. Come on, lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. There's a pitch in heaven that will shift your matter. There's a sound in heaven that will shift your matter. Things are coming down right now. Jericho walls being broken. Bodies being realigned. Come on. Money is coming in the name of Jesus. Never again shall you beg. Never again shall you beg. Never again. Never again. Every hand lifted in this place. Father, we seal your word. And we thank you that you've been watching over your word to ensure it performs. Father, I decree before they even get back home, they will see that you are a God that confirms your word with signs and wonders accompanying, according to Mark 16:20. Father, we thank you for this day. We got to fellowship being your word, but we thank you that we can leave never the same again, with my name being restored, my seat being restored, and my purpose being restored. If you believe that, shout amen. Shout amen. We love you guys. Have an amazing rest of your weekend. Invite your friends to Sunday next weekend. It is our Christmas service. They don't want to miss it.